Good afternoon, good morning, good day, depending on where you're listening from. Welcome to Profit and Beauty. Now, this show was created for salon owners who have decided to start running their salons like a business rather than a hustle. The focus of the show is to help salon owners understand the numbers behind their business so that they can grow and make extraordinary profits. Without this knowledge, it's really hard, if not impossible, for your salon to reach its true potential. My name is Desiree Anderson, and I have 19 years' experience as a hairstylist and salon owner. I currently work as a certified public accountant, working mainly with salon owners and hairstylists. My background as a former stylist and salon owner gives me a much better understanding of what our industry professionals need and desire. So if you are a hairstylist or salon owner interested in running your salon like a business, then this show is for you. On the other hand, if you are a hairstylist or salon owner not interested in running your salon like a business, this show may or may not be for you. I just hope you keep listening and maybe something you hear in one of the episodes will make you decide to turn your craft from a hustle into a business that you can scale and grow. So sit back and enjoy this week's episode. Hi everyone and welcome back to Profit and Beauty. Now this is my first full show of the year. As you all know, it is tax season, so I am going to be a little bit busy for the next 4 months or so. So I may not be putting out as many shows as I ordinarily would. But as you all know, the government is currently on lockdown, so that gives me a little bit more free time to be able to do certain things that I ordinarily wouldn't be able to do during tax season. So, in keeping in the theme of tax season, this show is going to be about four questions that I get asked a lot by... Well, it's not the only questions I get asked, but it's four common questions that I get asked by taxpayers or by clients. So the four questions are, I'm a business owner. How should I be paying myself? I get that particular question quite a bit. The second question is, as a business owner, do I need to file both a business tax return and a personal tax return? So I'm going to be talking about that, letting you guys know how you're supposed to file based upon the type of business that you are. The third question is, I purchase products and supplies from vendors. Do I need to provide them with a 1099 at the end of the year? If so, who else should I be giving a 1099 at year end? And the final question is, what if I am not able to get all of my documents together before April 15th? Can I file an extension? And how does the extension process work? So I'm going to touch on all four of these questions and I'm going to just briefly talk about them. So if you have further questions after I've explained briefly the answer to these questions, then I suggest that you contact your accountant or you can contact me and I can help you through some of the questions that you may be having. So let's start with question number one, which is, I'm a business owner. How should I pay myself? Okay, so how you pay yourself is strictly based upon the type of business entity that you are. Are you a sole proprietorship or a single member LLC? Are you a partnership? Are you an S corporation or are you a C corporation? So you don't really get to pick and choose how you prefer to pay yourself. It is mandated by law how you pay yourself based upon the type of entity that you are. And to make this a little bit less complicated, I'm just going to say that there are two most common ways in which small business owners pay themselves. Now, there are a couple of other caveats to this, but let's just keep it simple and talk about the two most common ways that business owners, especially small business owners, pay themselves. One is either through a draw or through a paycheck. Paycheck meaning that you are on payroll within your company and you pay yourself a paycheck, which means that during every pay period, you actually withhold income tax, you withhold security, and you hold Medicaid tax from your paycheck. So you're paying yourself as an employee of your business. And as for the second way of paying yourself, now, even though you take out a draw every month or every week or how often you take money out the account, you may consider that paying yourself. But let's look at it from the perspective of, let's say, a loan officer. So if you're trying to get a loan or if an institution asks you, how much money do you make every week, or how much money do you make, period? Well, your answer as a small business owner really is going to depend upon what your net income is. They don't base it upon how much you draw out of your account. And I say that because people get really confused when they're asked that question, how much do they pay themselves? As small business owners, or rather as independent contractors, as sole proprietors, what we pay ourselves is not necessarily the answer that maybe the loan officer is looking for. So it's not really based upon how much you pay yourself. It's based upon what your net income is at the end of a period, whether it be at the end of a week, at the end of a year, or at the end of a month. That is how banks or whomever else is trying to determine how much a sole proprietor makes. So as a sole proprietor, your income is based upon your net income. As a partnership, your income is based upon what percentage of the net income is yours. So if you are in a partnership and it's a 50-50 split, that means that at the end of the period, you get half of whatever the net income is. So that is what your pay is for that year, that month, that week, or however you calculate it. So because a sole proprietor or a partner's income is solely based on what their net income is, then how much you pay their net income is, then how much you pay yourself is really irrelevant. And that's because let's assume that your business as a sole proprietor or as a partnership, let's say you have a loss. Let's assume that you have a loss for 3 months straight, but you're still taking a draw, which means you're still taking money out of the bank. You're still paying yourself. Well, that money that you're paying yourself or that you're drawing, well, it could be based upon money that you made last year. So based on that, just because you drew money out of the business doesn't necessarily mean that that is your pay and you're going to be taxed on it. So as a sole proprietor or a single member LLC or a partner in a partnership, when you draw money out of your account, you're not necessarily paying yourself. What you're doing is you're just taking money. You're just drawing money out of your account. And that money that you're drawing out of your account may have already been taxed from a prior period, or maybe it may be this period's. People don't actually draw money out of their account. They assume that they never paid themselves. But keep in mind, whenever you use that credit card or you use that debit card to pay for something, you just paid yourself. Whenever you pay your mortgage or you pay your rent, you just paid yourself because you're using the money that you earned within the business to pay for your personal expenses. So automatically, that is money that has either been taxed in the past or is currently taxable. So to sort of sum things up, as a sole proprietor or a single member LLC, or as a partner in a partnership, the way that your income is determined is not from how much money you actually draw out of the bank. It's based upon what your net income is for that period. So your income minus your expenses equals your net income. And the net income is what you're taxed on. So when somebody asks you, like at some type of credit, if somebody asks you, how much money do you make? They're not asking you, how much do you pay yourself? They're simply asking you, what is your net income? On the other hand, for S corporations and for C corporations, you actually can answer that question, how much money do you make? Because you pay yourself as an employee. So if you set your salary aside at $60,000 a year, then that means that your salary is $60,000 a year. That means that you make $60,000 a year, whatever that is on a weekly basis. So if someone says to you, how much money do you make on a weekly basis? You can answer that question outright. I make $1,000 a week, or I pay myself $1,000 a week, or as an employee, I make $1,000 a week. That is an S corporation or a C corp, S corporation or a C corporation owner. A sole proprietor or a partner in a partnership, you cannot answer that question because there is no answer to that question. The only answer you can give is what your net income is, and that's going to fluctuate from week to week, month to month, and from year to year, okay? So the second question is, as a business owner, do I need to file both business and personal tax returns? So once again, that also depends on how you are set up as a business. As a sole proprietor and a single member LLC, you're going to file one way as a partnership, an S corporation, or a C corporation, the answer to that question is different. So a sole proprietor or a single member LLC only has to file one tax return, which is your 1040. You file your personal 1040 tax return. And within that, there is a schedule called a Schedule C, which reports your income and your expenses for the year. So sole proprietors and single member LLCs, all you file is one tax return. That one tax return, your 1040, is going to contain your business income, okay? Now, as a, for a partnership, an S corporation or a C corporation, then you do have to file a business return. So if you are a partner in a partnership, the partnership has to file its own tax return, which is a 1065, and then you, the partners, get something that's called a K-1. That K-1 pretty much summarizes all of the income and the losses or the draws or the distributions that you took out as the partner. So you get that single K-1, and that K-1, you file it together with your 1040. So if you are a partnership, let's say you're a 50-50 partner with someone. The partnership files a 1065. That's one tax return. Both of you will get a K-1 from that tax return, and you will file that K-1 with your 1040. So you will file, you have to file two tax returns. An S corporation owner, same situation. The S corporation has to file its own individual tax return. Within that tax return, there is also a K-1 that you, the owner, the shareholder, will receive. So once you file the 1120S tax return, you then take the K-1 from that tax return and you file that with your 1040, your personal tax return. So as an S corporation owner, you file two tax returns, a business and a personal. Same thing with the C corporation. The only difference with the C corporation is that there is no K-1 involved. The C corporation files a tax return, and you who, let's say you own a C corporation, remember now you've been paying yourself as an employee with payroll, which means that you received a W-2. So when you file your tax return, you're going to use a W-2 that the C corporation provided you to file your return. And also, as an S corporation, as a matter of fact, you're also going to get a W-2. So as an S corporation owner, you're also going to get a W-2 plus the K-1. Okay, so to summarize, a sole proprietor and a single member LLC only files one tax return, which is the 1040. Within that tax return, your business income and expenses are also reported on something called a Schedule C. A partner in a partnership files two tax returns. The partnership files its own tax return, and then you as a partner, you file your own personal separate tax return after the partnership gives you a K-1 and tax returns. You have to file the 1120S, which is the corporate tax return, and then you get a K-1. Plus, you also get a W-2. So you are looking at a W-2 and a K-1 that you have to use to file your 1040 tax return. And the C corporation, also you just file one tax return. And if you are a shareholder or an owner of a C corporation, you file your own personal tax return using the W-2 that you received from the C corporation. Okay? The third question is, I purchase products and supplies from vendors. Do I need to provide them with a 1099 at the end of the year? And if so, who else should I be giving a 1099 to at year end? So the answer to the first question is, if you purchase products from vendors, then you are required to provide the vendor with a 1099 under certain circumstances, okay? Now, here are the circumstances. Number one, if you pay a vendor for supplies and you paid that vendor more than $600 for that particular year, then yes, you are required to provide the vendor with a 1099, unless that vendor is a corporation. So if you purchase something from a vendor and that vendor is, let's say, an LLC or a sole proprietor or a partner of a partnership, and you provide them, you purchase products from them or purchase anything from them, and it's more than $600, you are supposed to provide them with a 1099 at the end of the year. If you purchase something from a vendor and that vendor is an S corporation or a C corporation, no matter how much you no matter how much you spend with that supplier, you're not required to give them a 1099. Okay, so that's the difference. So for anybody, but outside of that, for any vendor who you pay more than $600, you are required to provide them with a 1099. Now, if you purchase your items from your vendor using nothing but a credit card, okay, let's say you use a credit card or you use PayPal or you use some type of third party merchant, then under those circumstances as well, you're not required to provide the vendor with a 1099. So let me go over that one more time. If the vendor that you're purchasing a product from is a sole proprietor or a single member LLC or a partnership, and you pay that vendor more than $600, you are required to provide that vendor with a 1099 at the end of the year, okay? If the person you purchase something from, or if the company or the business you purchase something from is an S corporation or a C corporation or any kind of corporation, you do not have to provide them with a 1099. If you purchase products from a vendor and you use nothing but a credit card all year, you do not have to provide them with a 1099. Okay, so only if you pay with cash or you pay with check or something other than a credit card. Only under those circumstances are you then required to provide that vendor with a 1099 at the end of the year. So what you want to do is when you determine which vendors you want to use every year, you want to give them a W-9, okay? Before you start doing business with them, give them something called a W-9. Once they fill out that form, you're going to then use that W-9 form to prepare their 1099 at the end of the year. Okay, sure that you do that, because not providing vendors with 1099s can garner extremely high penalties and other types of fees. So you have to make sure that you do that. Now, second question is, who else should I be giving a 1099? Well, if you are a booth renter and you pay booth rent to the salon every week, if you pay booth rent within that year and it's more than $600, you're required to provide the salon with a 1099, showing the IRS how much you paid them for that particular year. Now, I know from working with salons and even being a salon owner and being a booth renter back in the day, I never provided the salon owner with a 1099 because I didn't know I was supposed to, but I was. And even as a salon owner back in the day, none of my booth renters provided me with a 1099 because they probably didn't know either. And me as a business owner, I didn't know. So I'm just letting you know that if you are a booth renter or if you are a salon owner and you have booth renters or independent contractors, you are supposed to receive a 1099 from all of your independent contractors and all of your booth renters. Okay. So the fourth question is, or is this the third question? Let's see. This is the fourth question. So the fourth question is, what if I am not able to get all of my documents together before April 15th? Can I file an extension? And how does the extension process work? So the answer to the question is yes. You can file an extension if you're not able to get all of your documents together by tax day, which usually is April 15th, or it could be April 16th or 17th, depending upon when the 15th falls. If the 15th falls on a Saturday, then of course it's going to be the next business day. So I think, but for this year, I believe it's going to be April 15th. So yes, you can file an extension if you're unable to gather all of your documents. But keep in mind, an extension means an extension to file, not an extension to pay, which means let's assume you haven't gathered all your documents. Okay, fine. You can wait until October 15th to file. However, if you owe taxes, you're required to make the payments by April 15th. So that extension does not mean they're extending your ability or extending the time they're giving you to pay. They're only extending the time they're giving you to file. Because technically speaking, you are required to pay. So if you did what you were supposed to do, which is to file and pay your estimated taxes through the year, by the time April 15th rolls around and you're not able to gather all of your documents to file your tax return, and therefore you're seeking an extension, because the assumption is you did what you were supposed to do and you filed and paid your estimated taxes all through the year. But let's assume you didn't do that. Well, you have to make sure that you make your payments by April 15th, and then you can go ahead and file your actual tax return by October 15th, which would be the extension. Now, normally, depending upon the kind of business that you are, your due date to file your tax return and your extension date is going to be different. So if you are let's say you're a sole proprietor, which means you file a 1040 and a Schedule C, and if you are a C corporation owner, then the due date to file your tax return is April 15th, okay? Which means that if you file an extension, you're required to file by the extended date, which is October 15th. If you own a partnership or you own an S corporation, then you need to file your business tax return by March 15th, 2019, and the extension is through September 15th. So you have to file by September 15th. So let me repeat that. If you are a 1040, or rather, if you are a sole proprietor or you own a C corporation, then you're required to file your return by April 15th. The extension date is October 15th. So you have until October 15th to file, as long as you file an extension by April 15th. If you own a partnership or you are a S corporation owner, your tax return is due March 15th, and you can file your tax return on the extended date of September 15th. But keep in mind that the only way that the extension applies to you, okay, is if you actually file an extension. So let me rephrase that. The only way that you avoid paying the penalties for not filing a timely tax return is if you file the extension. So you have to file the extension by the deadline, which will be April 15th if you are a sole proprietor or an LLC, or by March 15th, if you are a partnership or a multi-member LLC, own an S corporation. Okay, so that's all I have time for today. So once again, I'd like to thank each and every one of you for taking the time to listen to the show, and hopefully I'll catch you on my next episode. Have a great day.